Hello, and thank you for joining us for an episode of That Solo Life, the podcast about public relations and marketing pros who work for themselves. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters LLC, and I am here, of course, with my co-host, Karen Swim, the head honcho of Solo PR Pro. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michelle.
How are you? I am good. How are you?
You know, I'm good. It's a funny day. Whenever you're listening to this, I hope your day is less humorous. It seems like there's just technology glitches all over the place. And so I hope you're not experiencing that.
True. Likewise. Lots of strangeness happening of late, but oh, well, it makes life interesting, right? We won't be bored.
It makes it interesting, and you learn to just power through, and you sometimes you have to settle for some level of imperfection.
Oh, totally.
Which has nothing to do with our topic today, but I'm kind of excited for our topic.
We are actually, we thought, you know, we need a fun topic today. So, well, it's kind of fun. So please don't take this personally, everyone out there, but corporate speak. Karen, I'm going to circle back on the follow-up with the that item that I can't even do it. I just can't.
Well, let's just level set for a moment.
Okay. Do I have to levitate while I level set?
Well, no, but you have to be prepared to tell me, what's the business critical ask?
Oh, yes, of course. Right. Oh.
Let's illuminate this for our audience. So there's actually two really great articles about this, but there's an article in Vulture magazine called Garbage Language, and it was written by the fantastically talented Molly Young. And so Garbage Language, you can find it online at Vulture. Garbage Language, Why Do Corporations Speak the Way They Do? And I have to tell you that it is a fantastic read. And so we're laughing because so many of the phrases that were even in the visual that accompanied the article are things that we hear
every day. You know, with these key learnings, we can co-create innovative win-wins, you know.
Well, yes, we can. And yes. Since we're on a parallel path on this podcast, you know, and so we laughed about it. I laughed so hard, but then it's really a piece that delves deeply into the psychology behind this corporate
truth.
And yes. I love how she even, you know, says how she picked up the term garbage speak from a writer who wrote a book on this, and how it makes sense, because basically it's sad that we've come to use language to hide behind.
Oh, truth. And, you know, and it probably speaks to the competitive nature of perhaps certain, you know, certain spheres out there that, oh, you don't, God forbid, you know, you sound less than, right?
Yeah.
It's just very strange. So we've come up with this vocabulary. And, you know, I mean, I even find it sometimes when I attend sessions of, you know, the latest buzzword for something, and I sit there and I go, oh, you mean what I do every day? Okay.
Yes. I mean, I agree. The buzzwords can be a way of trying to put a spin on something that isn't new.
Correct. But garbage speak is a whole new level.
Garbage speak is a whole new level because sometimes it's like really just, it's just like a made up language within corporations. And I get it. There's a different article that addresses this topic. To some degree, I get it that in companies and in industries, you have common language that sort of is how you communicate.
Correct.
But to me, we already have a common language and it's called English.
Really?
And if we just spoke English.
No, that's true. And I find myself not necessarily buzzwords, but you're right that, you know, the speak within your industry, you try not to communicate in that way with client facing, you know, communications, because you know that you want to be understood. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is that at the core essence of everything we do is we need to be understood, client, you know, as agency to client, person to person, we need to be understood. We're communications professionals, and yet part of our corporate world has devolved into whatever this is.
Yeah.
And it fights against it.
We're not necessarily talking about jargon, which we hate as well, because there are industry terms that are technical terms that are very specific to industry.
Right.
We're talking about garbage language.
Well, like, yeah, the one that specifically that she pulls out is parallel level. Can you work on this on a parallel level? In other words, can you work on both of these items for us? Yes.
I mean, it yes, just I can. Is weird. And,
yeah,
you know,
it is.
Context, this writer was inspired to write this piece by a book. That's a memoir by a woman by the name of Anna Weiner. And I really hope that it's not Weiner, but it's spelled W-I-E-N-E-R. So she wrote a book called Uncanny Valley that I definitely plan to read. And, you know, in what world do we have to call a meeting a sink? Really? Because meeting has too many syllables?
I can't.
I mean, it's not that long. It's not difficult to spell. It's not difficult to say. Can we just call it what it is, a meeting? And by the way, can we do fewer of them? How about that?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
A sync. What the heck is a sync? What are you going to synchronize? You're trying to synchronize my brain to yours? I don't even understand. It just is.
I had two thoughts. A, I'm not a file. And B, sink? Well, are you going to wash my dishes? Oh, the other kind of sink.
Yes.
It's not my turn to wash the office coffee mugs. No.
I mean, how execute? What are we even talking about? Does that mean that we're going to work together? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen it develop within work cultures where they all, it's almost they try to use it as a means of employee motivation, you know, the rah-rah language. And you think, yeah. I, in some respects, I would think, oh, other than that, you seem like a really cool place to work. Do I have to talk like that to work there?
Oh. You don't. You know, for Michelle and myself and for other professional communicators, one of the frustrating things about all of this is that it doesn't only, this garbage speak is not contained to offices. So fine, if you want to have your secret office language, whatever. It translates into the way that these corporate people communicate to external audiences.
Yes.
And so we get things like, you know, we get communications that clients want us to pitch. Or to utilize that we understand is not a meaningful way to speak to their audience, but they're so busy wanting to sound smart with these garbage pieces of language
right.
that we have, you know, we have to tactfully sidestep these battles and kind of explain that this is bad.
Exactly.
Who knows what you're saying? I mean, I love this. There's this great example in the article, and I'm looking at it, and so in this place, a coworker, and this was a while back, but the coworker says, going forward, we'll be using a RACI for all projects, and RACI is all caps, RACI, and then Molly, the writer of this piece, says, what's a RACI? And the coworker said, well, RACI stands for Responsible, Accountable, Consulted, and Informed, and the RACI distributed around so that we're all aligned and on the same page. And so Molly's like, but what is this? Is it physical? Is it like a chart? And the coworker's like, It's hard to explain. So I thought that that exchange was hilarious because while that acronym, and by the way, the acronym ended up living, dying, and nobody ever got racied. But it just points out how ridiculous all of this is. And, you know, for some of us who are sort of outside of that day-to-day corporate world, when some of these people speak, to me, it sounds like they've all been at a Jim Jones retreat and they've drank the
coffee. I was going to say, yes. What cult did you just join? I don't understand a word of what you said. And it doesn't mean I'm less than. It just means I don't understand a word of what you said.
I don't understand you. And, you know, by the way, I actually am really smart. So it doesn't indicate my level of intelligence. It just means that you know that you're putting words together that don't belong together and that you're using verbs as nouns. I mean, I'm just saying.
I've always been a great appreciator of turning nouns into verbs myself. I mean, but
it's an adjective. It's not a noun. You just shoved it into nounhood and created a new word, and I'm not okay with it.
Not even an urban dictionary, for goodness sake. What's happening?
So I agree with you. Like, I believe that the smartest, best, most powerful communicators, number one, they understand their audience. So they know very specifically who they're talking to. They're talking to a person and they're speaking that person's language. And I always remember the best advice that I had very early on, and I can't remember who said this, is to write to be understood or to speak to be understood.
I mean, that's the basis of anything we do, right? I mean, as communicators, whether PR or marketing, we are doing so in a way to influence behavior, right? Yeah. We want to influence decisions. We want to make an impact. Well, you can't do that if you're not speaking the language of the people who are receiving the message. And that even, you know, silos into a workplace, you know, your colleagues.
You use silo.
I feel like I'm on Pee Wee Herman. She said the word. I'll put a dollar in the buzzword swear jar of our podcast.
Michelle, you're complexifying this conversation.
I'm very sorry. I will stop. Oh my goodness. But I'm so ashamed. But it's true, you know, it's like you want to be able to communicate with your coworkers. Like, what do you need? You know, it's not that I don't care about you as a coworker, but tell me what you need as quickly and clearly as possible, and then I can get it to you. Why is that so hard?
I agree. And here's the thing that really bothers me, because I'm sort of an organizational culture geek. I get the opportunity, I love when I have the opportunity, I should say, to help companies to really build an intentional culture.
Yes.
And what scares me about garbage speak is that we bring young people into a company and they're spitting out this nonsense language because, you know, there's a level of anxiety about fitting in, about doing the right thing. And speaking this language that really means nothing, and when you're speaking to them in this nonsensical, made-up language, I feel like it doesn't give people an opportunity to be vulnerable to what they don't know. Doesn't really create a culture where learning is encouraged, where failure is not only acceptable but encouraged. Because if you don't ever fail, then you're never risking anything, and you're not giving people an opportunity to grow and to learn. And so it leads to these people that are so tightly wound and so obsessed with not making a misstep that I think we miss an opportunity.
Right. I mean, you think, oh, so-and-so didn't say parallel levels. She's not on mission with us. What kind of message does that send? Whereas I'm sure the work is fine. Everything's fine. And it's so true, you know, when you're bringing young people into a company and, you know, it's stressful enough. I'm sure they're concerned about enough things. Now to learn a whole new language.
Yeah.
You know?
A language that means nothing. And so right. I think people walk around and they spit out these phrases and they don't even really understand what the discipline that is beneath all of it. They don't understand the actual task. They're just spinning out things. And when you question them in real people language, they can't answer you because they've never learned anything but how to spit out garbage speak. And that's sad.
It's funny, and I might take some hits for this. I don't know. So our beloved Philadelphia Phillies, we have a new manager this year, Joe Girardi, and our former manager, Gabe Kepler. I mean, he had his good points, but he always irked me as a communicator because his press conferences were always a lot of words that sounded great, but meant little. You know, everything, even after a devastating loss, well, you know, we're phrase, that sounds good and impressive, phrase, and we're just going to go out and lose again tomorrow. Needless to say, that style didn't mesh well with us.
But. I remember the professor, Randy Posh? Anyway, the professor that was dying, and oh my God, his TED Talks were so phenomenal. Or even Steve Jobs, you know, when we listened
to
his famous speech. The people that really impress us, that leave an impact on us, are able to speak to us. They're able to tell a story that even a five-year-old can understand. And right. So I wonder why we're so moved by these people who tell these powerful stories in plain language, yet in our day-to-day, we walk around and we talk like zombies. I mean, I don't know. And
to add that, you know, they make it understandable, but they don't dumb it down. You know, they're not dumbing it down, and yet you can grasp it. I mean, that's really a talent for sure. But we're all capable of that. We really are. Instead of flexing this muscle into learning garbage language, you know, hone your story. I mean, Strunk and White, less is more, white space is your friend. All these things are true. They're not going to change.
I mean, listen, I'm a writer. I love playing with language. I love, and I love using terms in ways that really draw pictures in your mind. And sometimes I love using, you know, the SAT words because I like words, but I feel like all of that has its place and you truly have to know your audience. And I still know as a writer, the best work is the work that people actually understand and it resonates with them. And if I'm trying so hard to use lofty language and come on, we're all smart people. We don't really have to try that hard, but if it's lofty language, it's inaccessible to a lot of people. You're making people work way too hard to get to your message when it's cloaked in garbage speak.
Right.
Which, by the way, is my new favorite word. And I'm going to be using it all the time.
Don't come at me with that garbage language.
Don't come at me. That's garbage language. I may not say that to an actual client. Not that my clients use garbage language.
No. I know. I'm actually pretty fortunate. Mine don't. They don't. We understand each other.
I'm not going to tell you that I've never had a client that used garbage language, but, you know, I know people.
But, giving a nod to last week's episode about conferences. Sometimes you'll go to conferences and they'll throw around these words. And, you know, my first experience with that was integrated marketing when it first came out. And I thought, oh, this is a thing I must learn about. And then when I read, I'm like, oh, that's kind of what I've always done. Okay, carry on. I'll just start calling it this.
Oh my gosh.
I want to be fancy too.
And I mean, public relations, we've been guilty of that too. It's like,
oh, sure.
You mean that thing that I've been doing for like 22 years? Oh, okay.
Oh, I should be calling it something. And you do, you get that little flit of fear of like, oh no, my clients are going to think I'm incompetent or an idiot because I'm not using the words.
Yeah. Like, can you remember when you had to stop calling your writing and call it content marketing?
Exactly. Oh, a colleague and I did a whole Chamber of Commerce presentation called Content Marketing. What the heck is that? Oh, yeah, exactly. It's like where you use your words to talk about your stuff. Oh, right. What a novel concept.
We do content marketing. We've been doing content marketing, but it's funny because you're right. You know, I can remember, you know, way back in the day, a client saying, well, I read this book on content marketing. You mean that thing that I've been doing for you for 2 years successfully?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just call it that now. We'll do that.
Oh, good times. It keeps us on our toes. And if anything, I guess it helps us retain our cred as clear communicators, right? I mean, I guess it's I'm going to take it as a good thing that I'm sitting here nodding as I read this garbage language article of, yes, that's horrible. that's a good thing. And we understand and we feel for you if you are in a workplace where you have to speak this second language, and we're really sorry because French would be so much more fun. I don't know.
Yeah. But you know, some of these articles, you know, speak to, you know, if you are the outlier that doesn't buy into this, that nobody wants to be that, but I challenge some of you to be renegades, because if you want to really engage your teams and you really want to move people, and that's what great communication does. It makes people think, it makes them feel, it makes them do something. I challenge you, try dropping the garbage speak and see if the reactions are different. Try becoming a powerful communicator by using words that are accessible and meaningful to everyone, that are easy and plain. You know, try being that plain spoken person. And see if it doesn't make a difference, you know, and if it doesn't go back to garbage speak. But I believe that if you focus on really communicating with purpose, that you'll find that you don't need the garbage speak to get your points across, and that you might get a better response from people.
Exactly. Exactly. Try it.
And let us know how it goes. We'd love to hear that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'd love to hear your most, the garbage speak you love to hate the most. Let us know in the comments. We want to hear the most outrageous things that you have heard or that you have had to use. Check that out in our show notes, and we'll post these articles in our show notes as well, so you can enjoy them too. And we thank you for joining us yet again for an episode of That Solo Life. Please subscribe. If you find this of value to you, please share. And I promise I won't contribute to the swear jar anymore, the garbage speak swear jar. So until next time, thanks for joining us again on That Solo Life.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.